Today, something interesting. We're going to talk to legendary guitar virtuoso, rock and roll Hall of Fame inductee, multiple Grammy Award-winning artist, Andy Summers of The Police, here to talk to us today.
Hi.
It's kind of interesting that mostly people think of you because you are a Grammy Award winner and a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee and so forth. They just think of you as a musician, which is no small thing, of course. But you also have lots of other things that you do very well, and you've been doing them. You're on your second tour of traveling around the country, reading excerpts from your books that you've written, showing your photographs off. How did you decide to start doing that after having this wonderful success as a member of the group The Police? What made you decide to start getting involved with writing books and doing photography?
Yeah, what is the impulse? I mean, it's the same impulse that made me pick up the guitar in the first place and then eventually ended up in a band called The Police, which, of course, was the realization that, the realizing, if you like, that most young musicians who start out hope to get to.
Right.
So we got, you know, everybody wants that. One day I'll be really famous and, you know, it will sell millions of records, because it doesn't happen for most people. But it did happen for me, and happened for Stuart, and happened for Sting. And we're all still recovering, actually. Well, you know, the thing that made you do that is the thing that carries you on afterwards, because, I mean, like, just if you just think about it for a moment, the Police suddenly stopped. Then what? Then what are you supposed to do? That was it. That was your career. You don't play the guitar again. Oh, no, you turn around and go, well, I'll do something else. And the impulse to creativity is still there, and it's really strong. I mean, in my case, you know, of course it was shocking. Suddenly you're not in that band anymore and everything's different. But I went back, I started to make a new record, and, you know, and gradually it all picks up again, and then you carry on and find out that you're not defined by that, but that you are a creative person, and there's plenty of juice left, and on you go.
You're not just a one-trick pony. You've got lots of things that you can do, and now that you've done the thing that you wanted most to do, now you figure, what else is there out there that might be interesting, that might fulfill a part of my artistic interest? And you certainly have done this with your photography. The pictures that I was sent are really impressive. You traveled all over the world taking these photographs.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, there's always something that promotes it. You know, you don't know what level it is. You know, I got into photography at the very early days of The Police. We were in New York. We were surrounded by photographers and blah, blah, you know, I'm always looking at these things. And I said, this is sort of interesting. And one day, one of these New York girl photographers took me to the great photography store, and I bought an expensive camera, and I thought, I'm going to try and do photography. In fact, I'm going to be very good at it. And I had no idea, you know, I hadn't had a lot of experience like that. But, you know, it immediately took. It was very natural for me. And I started shooting photographs all the time. And, you know, I pretty much documented the whole career of The Police from the inside, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
I think the impulse to that came from, as a teenager, I went and saw so many European art house films as a kid. And they're all in black and white. And I was so impressed by them, you know, the emotional effect of them. You know, I even thought about, I would like to be a film director, because I had no idea how you do that. And I was such a committed guitarist. But you see, it sort of surfaced. The impulse was there, and there was a seed for it, and it was in all those European art house films. So
right.
It surfaced. You know, I had the time. I was on the road all the time. There's a lot of downtime.
Mm-hmm.
And I was using it to photograph.
Well, you certainly have quite an imaginative eye for it, too. The photographs of people all over the place and the most interesting of places. You managed to capture their humanity really beautifully. I like shooting in black and white, too. To me, there's a whole different kind of zeitgeist that's going on with it, you know? It makes it seem out of time. Like, how old could these photographs be? Well, we're not really sure. They're not color, so we just have to guess. And are these people that are alive now? Or they, you know, I think all of that, it gives you opportunities of expressing yourself that just shooting snapshots of your camera and your phone, it's just different, right?
Yeah, I know somebody else asked me that this morning. You know, do you shoot with the iPhone? I go, well, of course I do, but not seriously.
Right.
I use a Leica, which is the greatest camera and the most beautiful lenses. we all shoot with the iPhone. Occasionally, I should take a picture of that. I've only got the iPhone. But I don't take the iPhone very seriously in terms of serious photography. No, I don't. I use the Leica. And I'm happy to go out, as I will, on this upcoming tour with my camera bag and five lenses and a spare body. That's what I do. I'm very used to it.
Well, it's really neat, and I'm looking forward to getting a copy of your books now, and just seeing what else that you've done, and not just the photographic books, but also your memoir, One Train Later. And was there one thing about all this that surprised you, or did you think, no, this is going to be the track?
Oh, you mean in music?
Like? Yeah, well, in any of it, in music and photography and writing, was kind of a continuum, wasn't there?
An interesting question because, and I often have said this to people, it's the throwaway thing you do at the last minute. Back in the older days, because I'm sort of digital now, with contact sheets for our photographs, and this, so you have this rectangle of paper with your 36 pictures on it from the roll of film that you shot, and you go, no, I don't think so, no, I don't think it's much here. Then in the last corner, it's something where you weren't even trying, you just sort of half shot something, and that's the great picture.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the same, and I told somebody the other day, okay, right now I sit in my little home studio before I go to the big studio, and I'm recording and, working pieces of music and trying things out. Last moment, you're sort of tired, and you go, oh, just, I don't. And, in that last moment, it's like the brain sort of, the conscious brain wakes up, and you play something, and that was it.
Yeah.
So after 3 hours of striving and working hard at building something, and the minute you just sort of throw one out there without thinking about it, that's got the magic.
Yeah. It's like it was germinating all along.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Andy. It was a great pleasure. Love your music. I've been in radio for 50 years, so I've played all your songs on the radio. It's great to get a chance to talk to you.
Great talking to you, too. Thank you so much.
Sure thing. Bye-bye. So Andy Summers, formerly The Police, embarking on his Cracked Lens and Missing String theater tour all around the northeastern part of the United States, but I'm guessing it's going to end up being on YouTube at some point, too, and also be watching out for his books of photography, including the stunning Desire Walks the Street, I'll Be Watching You, and A Series of Glances, as well as his books, his memoir, One Train Later, which was the inspiration for his documentary film, Can't Stand Losing You, Surviving the Police, and his first work of fiction, released 2 years ago, Fretted and Moaning, Short Stories. Andy Summer, our guest today. Thanks for listening. I'm Doc Kirby.